PhD students we have from China are fantastic. The really great thing they do is they completely change people's perceptions of China. You know, people who, my colleagues and other students who are never going to go out to China are kind of baffled, really, by these incredibly urbane, sophisticated, well-informed, lively, interesting people. English is great, and it really does change perceptions of China here. They're great ambassadors, actually.
I've just been interviewing three Chinese students here, and they were very well-spoken, very informative, very knowledgeable, and great to talk with. It made me feel so happy to be with them. So you offer study at master's degree and postgraduate PhD.
That's right. We have PhD students too. One, I'm happy to say, just submitted and has just completed, for example, and gone off to do a postdoc in Amsterdam, the University of Amsterdam. Mm. So she's doing really well. She's been with us for a few years and one of our success stories. Yeah, we've had a few. And as I say, they're always a pleasure to have here and great ambassadors for China.
The work's continued, Jane, because 2014, you became president of the British Association for Chinese Studies, BACS. The actual BACS was founded during a conference at SOAS in London, 1976. You became president in 2014. What is the British Association for Chinese Studies?
It's an association that represents primarily universities and other organisations who educate about China. We primarily represent the universities around the UK with Chinese studies offerings. That's all of them. Not all of them offer single honours degrees. We're trying to promote these days engagement with both with schools whose teaching of Chinese has grown, and therefore we're kind of engaging with them, trying to ensure that there's a good continuity between school provision and university study to encourage people to carry on and study Chinese at university. And we try and increasingly to work with other stakeholders in the community, other actors who are engaged with China, for example, working with businesses who might need university graduates and others of this kind. So it's a good organisation, one that's role is expanding, I think it's fair to say at the moment, as it kind of engages more widely than it did it perhaps in the past.
And how do you see the state of your Chinese studies within higher education within the UK?
I think it's a really positive story that we have to tell about Chinese studies at the moment in the UK. As you may know, languages and language provision in the UK is generally somewhat under threat. You know, we seem to have got into a downward spiral, sort of less interest in schools, less, and then fewer people going on to study languages at university, which produces fewer graduates and people to teach in schools. And also, I think often university sort of financing models mean that it's hard to teach languages cost effectively. But it's a really positive story for Chinese studies because there's such strong demand now, and demand's actually going up, whereas it's tending to fall in many other language subject areas. So we've seen an expansion in the 1980s when you and I were getting involved in China. There were only six places in the UK you could study Chinese, but there are many, many more universities now. And I think that's partly driven by the student demand. It's also partly driven by universities realising that they need to engage with China and do more. And Confucius Institutes, which have been set up over the last 10 or more years across the UK in many universities, have also helped foster the development of Chinese studies in universities.
Here at Glasgow University, you were instrumental in having the Confucius Institute located here. And initially, you were also director of the Institute until Professor Ian Gow took over last year. Why did you want to see Confucius Institute brought into GU?
I think the initial idea for it wasn't actually mine, but I was very supportive, obviously, and I did play an active role in kind of setting that up. There were several things happened. First of all, it was a way for, I think for us as Chinese studies academics at the university, to get some extra funding for teaching of Chinese language and to introduce the teaching of Chinese language into the university, where it was, as I've just explained when I was talking about the financing models, it's actually been very difficult to persuade universities to set up new language programs. So it was really good for us from that point of view. And we thought it was just great to be able to give students at the university the opportunity to learn Chinese, which they weren't otherwise getting. And so the language provision that we've had here, which has really expanded rapidly over the three more years since we set up the Confucius Institute, has just enabled so many students to take extracurricular courses to get their Chinese either from, you know, either just get it going or even improve it to a pretty high level. Just skills them in ways which I think are really useful for their future career in a sort of careers in a global economy. So I thought it was useful for all these reasons for us, and it has been a platform for us to develop our undergraduate provision in Chinese studies, which, you know, so it's been very successful.
Significant also that it's right at the main gate of the university. The sign is there in English and Chinese, Confucius Institute, and it shows obviously the strength that Glasgow University is putting on that, the emphasis it's putting on to developing the links with China.
That's right. We felt it was important to have the Confucius Institute right there at the heart of the university so that people could see it. They knew it was there. It was accessible for everybody. And of course, it not only offers classes to our students, but also to anyone in Glasgow or beyond from wherever who can make it in and come to our classes. So we needed it to be reasonably accessible and easy to find. Yes, so certainly is the case that for the university and its engaging with China has been very important. And it is a partner again with, we worked very hard to partner it with Nankai because we had the links there and we really wanted to work with them. Nankai was really the best person for us to work with. So that's just helped strengthen exchanges again, you know. So we're trying to be focused and strategic, as you can tell, about our links with Chinese universities. There are many great Chinese universities, but for us, Nankai is a particularly good one and one that we find it really good to work with.
Well, not only are you developing the links with Nankai and other universities and so on, but here in Glasgow, you're a strong believer in enhancing the understanding and knowledge of China within the community and in the west of Scotland. Why have you got this view?
To be honest, I tend to find that people don't understand what China's like. And of course, you can't really understand China unless you go there. But as far as it's possible, we wanted to sort of, for people to have a greater understanding. It's good for business, it's good for cultural relations, it's good for the economy, that people understand what China's really like. And so, you know, trying to get beyond, I think sometimes to be honest, the journalistic reporting can focus, you know, can focus on certain issues above others. And we wanted to have research-led, really well-informed events about China so that people could kind of understand it across the spectrum of all the different ways, you know, weird and wonderful and sometimes the problems China has as well as the good side. So to do that in a sort of deeper way, you know, so it's not so superficial as some of the information you might sometimes get. I think for Scotland, it's important that we economically engage with China. And I think to do that, people need to be able to speak the language. I really think that language barriers create many problems, and it's important that people learn Chinese so that they can engage and understand China fully.